Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Behind the delivery trucks that keep your life stocked, thousands of employees at BP go to work every day. People bringing a new offshore production platform online. People making our refineries capable of more, like making renewable diesel from agricultural waste. People trading and shipping fuels to our customers. And people helping truckers fill up and get maintenance at our convenient locations. They're part of almost 300,000 jobs BP supports across the country. Learn more at bp.com/investing in America.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another podcast, Grey's Academy. Shit, let me try that again. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. Grey's Academy. Your great. Favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire world. Your two favorite hosts are here. One of them's name is me. I'm Carmen. Hello.
Hello, I'm Kelsey. I'm the other one, and we're doing amazing. It's a great, beautiful night for our podcast. Everything's going really well already.
It's going great. I love it. It's amazing. Man, I don't even know if I started saying hello before, like, the countdown was fully complete. Like,
oh, incredible. I can't wait to hear and find out.
Goodness. Right before we started recording this, I told, I see that Kelsey was eating ice cream. I'm also eating ice cream. The name of the flavor I told her was Fart Cherry Blast, but it's actually not. It's Tart Cherry Blast. It's from Target. It's the favorite day ice cream. $2.99 for this thing. Great.
Well, yeah, they got to make their shit cheap because everyone stopped shopping there.
Oh, yeah. Well, not me.
Thing is, like, I don't really have any other options because my other options are Walmart, which is equally as deplorable as Target, in my opinion. So, or Amazon, which A, won't ship me ice cream, and B, is also terrible. And then Publix, which also is historically, whilst making delicious sandwiches, very Republican. So, I'm at a loss for options.
Yeah, any Democratic
grocery stores feel free to pop on up. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. But this is cream cheese flavored ice cream with tart cherry swirl and white and blue flakes with sprinkles. I don't know what the flavor of the white and blue flakes are. I think they're just white flavored and blue flavored, but
classic.
Yeah. Classic flavor blue. We all know it. Oh, goodness.
I was eating Rocky Road because I love it. Do you have a regional, like, is there a Midwest, like, I know Texas has, like, Blue Bell, and everyone loses their mind over Blue Bell. In my area, it's Mayfield ice cream. The Mayfield factory is, like, local to us, and the Mayfield ice cream is not sold everywhere. I remember Emily and I, like, had a huge celebration when they started selling it in Florida. We were like, oh my god, they've put Mayfield ice cream here.
I don't know, actually.
No, but you have those chips that are regional.
We got those, dude, fucking donkey chips, bro. I'd fly anywhere for donkey chips. I don't know. If you're listening in the Midwest, educate me on my own ice cream, because I don't know. I would imagine there's some sort of Wisconsin-based ice cream with all the cows floating around.
Oh, are there floating cows in Wisconsin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's actually a beer brand that we milk the cow's teat, and it comes out. It's called Spotted Cow Beer.
This can't be a real thing. I feel you're making it up.
The beer is real. The method of which it's extracted from the cow is fake. It's not from a cow. It's from a barley or a wheat? Or rye.
Okay. We're going to talk about Grey's. This is going to be unhinged. I can already tell.
Yeah. I'm very tired.
I cannot tell at all. You seem super normal today.
Fun fact, never even watched this episode. So We'll see how this goes.
Perfect. I did have some regrets. Partially through the episode when I remembered what happened in this episode, I was like, ooh, probably should have told him to record himself watching this one.
Yeah.
It was too late, though.
This wasn't... I mean...
Just the thing at the end.
Thing at the end, man.
Well, two things at the end.
Yeah, the last 2 minutes were rough. Last, like,
well,
5 minutes.
One was good, and then the other was bad.
Oh, yes.
I was like, wow, he really hates babies.
No. I actually did forget about that, but yeah. I thought of the other two things.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there's the other thing.
Is episode 7 of the 9th season, episode 179 overall, called I Was Made for Loving You. And that is a song.
I Was Made for Loving You is a song by Smooches, the band Smooches that everyone loves, the also American rock band Smoochies, also Kiss. Known as Kiss. X's and O's. Which one's the Kisses? Is the Hugs? Hugs is the X's and Kisses are the O's?
No, I think Kiss is X.
Really?
And Hug is O.
I thought Hug is X because you're making like a cross with your arms to hug people, and then
O
is the Kiss
because you're
like
making an O with your arms to hug people.
I thought it was you're making like an O kiss, like a,
you know, like I see the logic. I actually think I recently saw someone do an Instagram poll on this, and it was like 92% X was Kiss.
Interesting. Which one is
there
it
was
in football? Which is the X's and O's? Is O's off? O would be offense, right?
Probably.
X would be defense. That makes sense to me. All right. Anyways, I Was Made for Loving You is and still will forever be by Kiss, released in the U.S. on August 16th, 1979. Apparently was a smash hit, certified gold. It did very well in the charts. It reached top 100 in these following countries: Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Italy, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, South Africa, Sweden, Switzerland, the UK, and the United States, and West Germany. It reached as high as number 11 on the US Billboard Hot 100 and number 37 on the US Billboard Hot Dance Club Play. And then number 8 on the US Cashbox Top 100. Hit number 1 in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 places, 6 countries. Oh, sorry, 5 countries, just 2 different charts in Canada. Oh, sorry, 4 countries, also 2 different charts
amazing.
In the Netherlands.
Amazing.
yeah, that's what I got. It's a fine song. It's not my favorite. I'm going to give it it's not in my iTunes library, and it also did not make it into my iTunes library. It's going to be a subjective 3, an objective 4. It's not my favorite Kiss song. Also, Kiss is like not my favorite 70s, 80s rock band. I don't know. I love 80s music. I think they're just okay comparatively, but I know that that's probably a hot take for some of those out there. So, anyways, with that being said, Kelsey, it's back to you. I'm gonna take a scoop of my creamed ice fart.
Perfect.
Cherry blast.
This episode was written by Peter Norwalk, who we've seen many, many times. Directed by Laura Innes, I-N-N-E-S, I'm not sure on the pronunciation. Aired November 29th, 2012, to 8.95 million views. And the Netflix synopsis for this one is Owen and Christina navigate their relationship amid the pending lawsuit. Bailey and Ben argue over wedding plans. Now this synopsis is interesting and bad, in my opinion, because Owen and Christina speak minimally. They mostly just talk about each other to other people. Mm-hmm. And we don't even see Ben in this episode, so it's really more just Bailey being annoyed about Ben's wedding plans. This episode, I would talk like a mention of Arizona returning. Meredith talking, well, I would say
Meredith and Jackson, Derek have news. Jackson and April are a
big plot point. And I mean, Owen is navigating the lawsuit, but I feel like that's more prevalent than him and Christina navigating their relationship. I would say Jackson and April are a big plot point, and then Arizona being back. It was like the main plot points, in my opinion.
Yeah. Some fun characters, too. Some fun side characters to help bring the plot point along.
Who is fun, in your opinion?
I like the liver couple. I like them.
Oh, yes. They were great. I was like, if you say that tumor man, we're going to have some problems.
Sexual harassment guy was my favorite.
This, like, it was unsettling how chill everyone was about that. I did not. I was like, yeah, this is very clearly before the Me Too movement. Like, so very, very obvious. I was like,
it was sparked because of this man. And listen, here's the thing. I don't know if we want to start by talking about this guy. I was like, the first when he grabbed April's ass, Joe's ass, and then Meredith's ass, I was like, okay, like, you're just a creepy old dude. When he goes for the fucking tit, I'm like, that's red tape, bro. Off limits.
It's just like, I'm also like, when the daughter,
the asses
is
are
just,
too, but like,
when the daughter is just like, this is why no one wants to hang out with you, I'm like, this should not be your reaction. Just,
yeah.
Also, it's so weird the way it's portrayed, because they're like basically saying he's a toddler, like an infant. He doesn't have impulse control and all this stuff. But when he doubles down and he's like, it's a compliment, I was like, bro, that's not. No, don't touch people without consent.
And even if they do consent.
I will say this. This is not a spoily, but something that they have added into the current episodes of Grey's that are like currently on. I don't know if it was like the past two seasons or if it was before that, but every time they examine anyone, they ask, can I like touch you? Can I touch your stomach? Can I examine you? Like, they always like ask for consent before they begin. And it's like a really little touch that probably is like, if it wasn't there, I don't think it would, like, people would necessarily miss it, but it being there, I think, is a really positive thing that they've added in, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Every time I go to the chiropractor, they don't even ask me. And they grab my dick.
Well, you should find a new chiropractor for multiple reasons.
Yeah, they haven't touched my spine once, and I've been going there for 12
weeks.
I fear
you're not going to a chiropractor.
It's, never mind, I'm not going to continue down that joke path. Anyways.
Yeah, let's not. Anyways, yeah, the first time he grabbed her butt, I was like, okay. Because I feel like they've done other tumor storylines where people will like acknowledge the fact that the thing they are doing beyond their control is rude, and they'll be like, I'm sorry, like, I can't control it or whatever. But he didn't. He was like, what? This is just normal behavior. Like, everybody's doing this. It's weird that you guys are mad at me.
I'm concerned that not everyone is running around grabbing tits and asses.
I feel like you gotta stop
and
using
dongs.
Those words. You gotta stop with your, you gotta pick better words.
All right.
Maybe slightly less objectifiable wording.
Okay. It was for the comedic effect. However, I recognize what you're saying. Boobies. Buttocks. Rumpuses.
Anyways, so I just didn't like that part of the storyline. It was weird
to
me.
Did I not say dong? Is dong over-objectifying
a penis?
I
actually don't care how you refer to a penis. Oh. I just feel like tits is objectively objectifying.
What about jugs?
You can say breasts, and maybe you don't even get to talk about them anymore. I'm gonna revoke your speaking of women's bodies privileges.
Yeah. Boobies. Can we land on boobies?
You can say boobs or breasts.
What's wrong with boobies?
You've just your privileges have been walked back because you doubled down on tits. And then jugs in as an option.
All right. I take it all back. Boobs.
Carmen.
Yes.
Would you say you hate women?
I would say speak when spoken to, Kelsey, and go make me a sandwich.
We'll clip this.
Okay, stop. Stop. I need to. Okay, guys. I'm okay. I need to reel this in.
So the timestamp on that. Okay.
Okay. I love women. I respect women.
This man should grab women. This man being the one in the show, but also Carmen, this man, also doesn't grab women other than his wife who gives him consent.
Consent. Yeah. Consensual. The storyline they gave him, though, was interesting because the daughter is like, man, mom left him because of this behavior, and I'm the only one who talks to him now. And I'm like, but why?
When someone just wakes up a completely different human, at what point do you think, like, maybe something else is going on?
We should go looking for tumors. That's first.
Like, I'm like, at the very least, maybe be like, should we call a therapist? Because, like, this is a bizarre behavior change. Because I will say, I don't think the average person would default to be like, oh, now you must have a tumor because you're grabbing strangers inappropriately. I don't think that would be the default because, again, with adults, you just think, well, you know not to do that. So, but again, if it came out of nowhere, I'm like, would you not pursue some amount of why is this happening?
Yeah. I'm also concerned at, like, where this was taking place because it clearly wasn't just in the hospital. Like, imagine this guy's at the checkout counter.
That's why he was in the hospital. Like, he had the cut on his hand because he grabbed some lady at the mall. And she, like, did something that cut his hand.
I don't know how I missed that.
Because she was like, the daughter said, oh, next time the woman will have a gun, look the fuck out, because you'll deserve to be shot, which is fair.
Yeah, I missed that part.
Yeah. So that was, it was just weird. I did not feel... Like, first of all, like a super complete storyline, but because they pass him off to another doctor, which I understand, like, plot wise why they had to do that. But just it was really more of like a device to get Derek to give a shit about his hand again, I guess.
Yeah. But it was for Meredith to challenge him on his bullshit.
Yeah, but in a nice way.
Yeah.
Derek was up and down this episode, in my opinion. There were some moments that I didn't love his attitude, and there were some moments where I was like, this is actually a good Derek moment. So he was kind of all over the place. It's kind of honestly same with Owen in this episode.
Yeah, kind of same with me in this episode.
Yeah, you weren't in it, so I didn't really care about you.
Talking about us, like our podcast.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's true. I would say that's true then.
Yeah. The other part of this story that I thought was interesting on, like, the daughter's, like, dialogue with Meredith is she's like, I've spent so long thinking he's just a dirty old man. Have you never confronted your father?
But that's the thing.
Have you never had a conversation?
She was actively calling him out as he was doing it. And that's when he was like, what? It's a compliment.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
I thought,
a deeper conversation than that.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm like, what is his defense all the time? When this is happening, like, I don't know, it was just
that, can't always be a compliment.
Yeah, that dynamic and the conversation around his, first of all, I don't think they would do this storyline nowadays. Second of all, if they did, the conversation surrounding it would be way different. And the first time he grabbed anybody, they probably would have, like, handcuffed him to the bed. Fully. And that would be valid, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Also, when Meredith tells Derek about it, he's like, oh, so funny. No, thank you. Not the appropriate reaction. Also, historically, when there are inoperable tumors, or when people say a tumor is inoperable, like, they're all across the board, like, this is an inoperable tumor. And then Derek steps in and he's like, no, it's not. This guy that is doing neuro while Derek is not, is like, this tumor is inoperable. And Meredith looks at it, not even a neuro attending. And she's like, it's clearly not. And Derek walks in and is like, no, it's not. I could walk anyone through how to do this. And the guy still won't do it. And so they send him to another doctor at another hospital. But that other doctor at the other hospital doesn't think it's inoperable. So I'm confused as to why it's either Derek or this shitty guy who won't operate on anybody. Y'all got to fill in the gaps in the in-between.
Yeah, and the guy who's too shitty to do surgery, like, is he worse than Derek with a bad hand?
Honestly.
Derek with a bad hand is still better than this schmuck? Like, who knows?
Yeah, it's unclear. Just, I understand as a plot device, the storyline, but when you kind of start to pull at the thread, it unravels rather quickly. So, I mean, staying on the Derek thing.
Derek, wait, before we transition, I do not agree with molesting and groping women.
Thank you. What a brave thing to say. What a brave stance to take.
I know that all the straight white GOP men out there who advocate for this podcast and are fervent fans of the Grey's Academy podcast family, I know I'm losing your support, but I need to stand for what's right. I don't grope women. I respect women.
What a hot take.
If you want to unfollow us, fine. I think we've lost all of our Republican followers.
No one's listening anymore.
That's not true. There's a couple of folks out there. Shout out. You know who you are. You're some of the good ones. It's okay.
Okay. So staying on the Derek thing.
Derek
is like meeting with Callie and she's kind of trying to make a plan on how to approach the hand. And he's kind of shitting all over everything or not even like giving his full attention.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying and rude and I don't care for it. And he's like, this is just not good. It's not going to work. So why don't you figure something else out? I'm not going to tell you how or what to do or how to fix it or what the issue is, but you got to go.
Because he doesn't even want the surgery. He needs to have a plan that's so good that's not his that he's convinced.
Yeah.
And he's not going to do any work for it.
I also liked when Callie said, I practiced this for Arizona last night and she was a much more supportive Derek.
Yes.
So
which means that at home Arizona is at least in a better mood, it seems like.
Yeah, this also we'll get to that. I have thoughts on the Callie and Arizona thing. The Derek, she recruits Jackson because she's like, hey, I need your help on the nerve side of this because like coming from plastics you have the nerve experience and I need someone else to help me make new ideas because Derek is shitting all over mine. And so he's, again, because he's distracted, he's in and out. And at the end of the episode, he's like, why are you even trying? He's not going to let us do anything. And Callie says, well, he's really scared, but we can help him find a plan to make him feel less scared. Like, we cannot undo the terrible thing that has happened, but we can do our best to find something moving forward that makes the terrible thing less terrible.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jackson runs away because the theme of this episode is people just like running away from Callie when she's trying to be nice.
Yeah. Poor Callie.
Yeah. She's just doing the best that she can.
She's doing both the best and the most.
Yeah. And also, Alex was so rude to her at the very beginning when he says, you know what I hate? That you won't stop talking. What? Alex, be nice to her.
I think it was a metaphor for how far they've come in their relationship. And he sees her as a friend now.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that it's polite to shit on your friends, Kelsey. Well, but I am saying...
Sometimes they need it.
Oh, man.
Anyways, yeah. So... But then she says, well, maybe... Well, you and Arizona, like, have that in common. Or, like, you'll get along great. Or something like that. It's very convoluted. The situation, the home life situation is very confusing to me for Callie in Arizona. But
the lucky
anyway,
thing about
so,
us is they're fine. They're clearly fine.
Apparently.
Everything is fine.
We've skipped the resolution. So obviously Derek Meredith is also like wants to push Derek to get better with the hand surgery, but she doesn't want to push too hard. But then she ends up using Grabby Guy to be like, you have to get your hand fixed, because even if you tell other people how to do the surgery, they still won't do it as good as you. And the fact that the other people's go-to is, oh, that's inoperable. Like, no effort whatsoever. Just go home, continue to grab people, and then die with your whole family hating you. Yeah. Like, that shouldn't be the default. And so I understand, like, the plot device of this man. There's just some confusion around the details for me. But then I did really appreciate the moment when Derek goes back to Callie and he's like, we're going to start over. We're going to throw everything out, but we're going to start over together. So we'll go through it together and we'll find a plan that works together. You deserve a night off. And thank you. I really liked that he thanked her, because the previous attitude was in no way thankful or gracious at all. So I did like that he like verbalized his appreciation to her, and then also said that he would work with her to make a plan.
Yeah, Derek in this scene really put the gray in gracious, and I'm happy about that. The thing that could have taken this to a whole new level is if he would have apologized and said, I'm sorry for before, how I treated you. Sorry that I took these things out on you. Also, remember last episode when I yelled at you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to get a thank you and an apology in the same scene, for sure. That would never happen.
Yeah.
So, also, but I did like that moment, though.
Thinking about the boob and butt grabbing guy, never once did he apologize.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He just doubles down. He's like, why would I apologize? I'm being nice. This is a compliment. That's fucked up. Don't think of things that way, guys. Like, you are wrong.
I would, like, if I reach for a pen or a pencil at the same time as someone and our hands accidentally touch, I'm like, I am so sorry. I did not intend. That was not, I was not groping you.
Yeah.
I don't go that far, but the point is, like, is I am mortified whenever there's physical contact that I don't
uncomfortably
anyone.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Men, women. I don't like touching people. I don't want to touch people that aren't like people that I know and love.
Yeah. Also, when you even give hugs to people that you like, it's always more of like an offer. Like, you don't just go in for a hug. You're like right. A hug.
Yeah. Even at work, I'm like, hey, at the end of the day, just so you know, like, I'm not a robot. Would you like a hug? And most of the time they say no. And I'm like, okay, standing offer, but I'm never going to force it on you.
Yeah, that's the way to go for sure. Let people know you're there if they want it. Mm-hmm. Not force it.
What did I say the other day? Someone said that's the most Michael Scott thing I've ever heard from not Michael Scott. Someone was having a rough day, and I go, and I'm like on the floor, and I'm like, do you need a hug? And they're like, no. And I was like kind of joking, but I go, I'm never going to outwardly come and just give you a hug, but no, I'll always want to. And they're like, that's so Michael Scott of a thing to say. And I was like, that didn't come out exactly how I intended it, but I hope the sentiment rings true.
When you say on the floor, do you mean you were out and about, or you were laying on the floor?
Out and about, out of the
office. That's what I thought, but I wanted to clarify for the listeners.
I walked out and I laid on the floor and I said, I want to hug you. Come here. Come down to the floor and we shall hug on the floor.
Stranger things have happened, my guy.
And we will, yes, yeah, you know. We elected a, never mind. Anyways, don't touch people and do the surgery and thank your friends who do the hard work to create surgical plans for you is the moral of the story.
It's so true. And also thank our corporate overlords for these ads.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Behind the delivery trucks that keep your life stocked, thousands of employees at BP go to work every day. People bringing a new offshore production platform online. People making our refineries capable of more, like making renewable diesel from agricultural waste. People trading and shipping fuels to our customers. And people helping truckers fill up and get maintenance at our convenient locations. They're part of almost 300,000 jobs BP supports across the country. Learn more at bp.com/investing in America.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Thank you so much, corporate overlords. Whilst we hate you, we do also appreciate that you continue supporting us in our capitalistic ways. We're doing our best.
When I schedule my chiropractor appointments 1 week at a time because I don't know my week so far in advance that like I can actually schedule things. And they're like, "Oh, what do you've two cameras, your two calendars you're looking at." And I go, "Yes, one is my human life calendar, and the other one is my capitalist overlord calendar that I have to pay homage to every day." And both the receptionist died laughing, and I was like, "You laugh, but
ouch! This is how we have to live." How much is gas where you live right now?
$3.50 something.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I got a new car.
I know. You didn't tell me, but my husband did.
I actually was going to send you a text, and Jess saw that I was sending you a text, and she's like, "Why would you send people a text that you got a new car?" And I was like, "I'm sending my podcast partner, my friend, excited." She's like, "Don't like tell people you got a new car via text. Like, if you want to post about it, post about it." And I was like, "I don't understand what your line is."
That I don't agree with.
Because I was going to put it in the group chat, and then she's like, "Oh, that's tacky." And I was like, "Okay, but like everyone else has done it." But then I was going to text you, and I was going to be like, "Surprise, we're going to talk about this on the podcast." And she's like, "Oh, don't like text people." And I'm like, "I don't know what you want from me. Go."
So weird that way. Interesting.
Yeah. So I told her to get back in her crate and stop talking. Her cage.
Yeah, you don't give her a whole crate. She just gets a cage. Anyways, okay. So,
wait, can I tell you the story of what happened? Can I tell you my car story?
Oh yeah.
So
I thought you just got a new car. I didn't know there was a story.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So my AC died in my car last week.
Oh yeah, that's not the vibe.
And it could
not
either
in June.
Have been,
that's for sure.
Nope. It could have either been like $200 or more. And I go Saturday
those
morning.
Those are the two options: $200 or more.
Or a billion. So as we're going to take Marlo to swim class, on the way we get donuts and we drop it off, and I go to the people at Firestone and I'm like, "This is for sure a bribe. Please give me good news on my car." They call me and they're like, "We don't have good news." And I said, "Well, then I want those donuts back, please." They didn't. I didn't actually mean it. But they are like, "Yeah, it's gonna be like $1,400. And I said, "Okay, don't do anything. Let me talk to Jess." And I've already, because I knew it was going to be either $200 to like recharge it or it was going to be or more. But they're like, "Yeah, the compressor's shot. Like there, this it's, you have to replace the compressor and then you have to recharge the compressor." So I was like, "All right, Jess, like I don't want to put the money in it because I could put $1,400 in it and then it could break next month, something else. Like I'm done with this." And so I went to the Mazda dealer, the same Mazda dealer that I got my car from 15 years ago. And I said, "I have a limited budget. I have $1,400 to put down. Give me your best offer." And they're like, "We have nothing for you." And I was like, "Okay, goodbye."
Get the fuck out of here.
And they're like, no. Like, let's look. Let's just look." And I was like, "That's what I fucking thought, car person. You're talking to the car man here. Okay, bitch."
Oh, my God.
So... I've not been sitting on that. That came to me.
I believe you.
Yeah. So anyways, we got to the price that I wanted with the money down. And Jess's parents are buying the car, and it's going to be probably for her younger brother. And so I got a 3-year lease on a Mazda CX-5, and I'm very happy. And I don't know if you saw the post, for any of you out there who follow me. Much like James Bond, where you have Pierce Brosnan, you've got Daniel Craig, you've got Roger Moore, you've got Sean Connery. They're all James Bond, the 007 mantle. So all of my cars are Lorelei, and I'm sticking with that. I think I just explained why.
No,
my car is the James Bond of non-action film vehicles.
But they're different.
Yeah, but the same.
It's confusing
different.
To me why that name.
I think Lorelei is a great name.
Yeah, but you've taken it away from your wife. You told her she cannot use it on a child because you've used it on a car.
Yeah, but Lorelei was never a real option for a girl name for her. She's never liked that name for a kid.
I don't know if that's true because she specifically told me that she couldn't name a kid that because you said it was the name of your car.
I've never said that. And if she decided that she wanted to name our next kid Lorelei, I would change the name of my car.
Interesting.
In the courthouse, of course, because my car is a living person.
Do you, actively refer to your car by Lorelei ever? Like, when you get
sometimes.
Home and you're like, hey, the air conditioner in the car went out. Or did you get home and say, hey, the air conditioner in Lorelei went out?
No, I said my car's AC died.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't say
Lorelei's
AC died.
No, I'm not a monster.
That's why I'm just like, when I have historically named my cars, I actively refer to them by their names.
I think I want to live somewhere in between where I have comfort in knowing that I'm inside of her every day, but I don't refer to her as a real thing.
Why do you need to make it weird, though?
Because
follow up question.
Because the listeners out there have an expectation of the kind of content and quality comedy that we bring every week, and I'm just trying to deliver.
Comedy and weird are different.
No, not to some people.
Apparently not to you.
And just as a wrap up to this story, I just started replaying Zelda Ocarina of Time on the Switch 2. So,
okay,
it's much easier as an adult. Playing these games are much like when I was a kid. I was like, "This is the who designed this?"
I don't know, man. Those Sega games on the Lion King and Aladdin that I was playing on Sega and tapping my dad in to play because I couldn't. They're
very
fucking hard on the Switch.
There was some meme or some story that came out recently. The Lion King Sega games or the Super Nintendo version, whatever it was, one of the Lion King games was specifically made so hard that it could not be beaten in a Blockbuster rental period.
So to make you keep renting it?
At least rent it more than once or just go buy the game.
Makes sense. We owned it, but for Sega.
Yeah, never had a Sega, but there's some games on there that I'm going to start cracking into. Anyways, back to Grays.
Yeah.
And I think we should talk about Arizona.
Yeah, I was going to say Arizona.
Ugh, amazing. I love when we're on the same page and we finish each other's
sandwiches.
That's what I was going to say.
I know it was. Excuse me. Sorry. It's been so long since I've done that.
Someone out
there
is
going.
If only
we had an editor.
Nah, we would edit it to make it louder.
Well, probably wouldn't do that. Anyways. Okay, so it's Arizona's first day back. They're in the meeting in the morning, and Owen says Arizona's going to be back, so everyone make her feel welcome. And Callie's like, no one acknowledge it. Like, don't act like anything's happened.
In fact, whatever Owen just said, just ignore it.
As far away as you could possibly be from what that man has just said to you.
That was a great way to start this episode. I loved that. Take what Owen said and reject
it. Yeah. And, so Arizona's back, and Callie tells Alex, like, hey, I'm going to have this intern stalk you with the squeakiest wheelchair I can find.
The squeakiest chair. Yeah.
So that if Arizona needs to sit, the wheelchair will be there. She won't have to like look for one or ask for one. It'll just already be there. So it won't be weird. And so Heather is stalking her with the squeaky chair the whole fucking episode. It's very annoying. And Alex is like kind of like he doesn't really know. You can tell that he wants to be like supportive, but he doesn't really know like how to do it without acknowledging the elephant in the room. And so then like when they get paged to go to the ER, he like tries to go with Arizona, but she's like, no, you need to go quicker. Like this kid was trampled by a horse. And then April wants to take the kid to go get a CT scan. And Alex is like, can we wait for Arizona? She's almost here. And April's like, no. So when Arizona does end up getting there, they're already gone. So she's bummed out by that. But I do think Alex is trying to do his best at like acknowledging it without acknowledging it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
a gentle acknowledgement. It's we put kid gloves on. We're gently acknowledging it, trying to be supportive.
Like what can I do differently without like asking what I can do differently?
Yeah.
Like how can I just do this? But it's definitely hard, like, because, again, especially because Callie's like, nobody talk about it. So I think nobody really knows what, yeah, if anything, to do.
And we get, you know, we get obviously a moment where so there's the comedy aspect of her walking around. Heather's like, I was just going to radiology. I got lost. Bah, I'm an intern. Ha ha ha. And then later in the surgery, she just goes and gets another squeaky chair.
Yeah, a different chair that's also squeaky as hell. Like, damn, like, first of all, where's the fucking WD-40 in this hospital?
Seriously, do our inventory staff not recognize that we need a quiet experience for our people? Sheesh.
Secondly, like, test the chair before you take it.
Right. Right. But yeah, I was nervous for Arizona when they got to the ER and Alex got there first and April's like, no, we got to go now. We're not waiting for her. And Alex's like, no, like, let's wait for her. And April said, hell no. And then I don't know if that's the scene where she says something to the effect of, even when, I mean, is that, cause I think the kid is like, my sneakers, protect my sneakers. Which like brought me joy and annoyance at the same time. I loved it
when Alex called out. He was like, what kind of fucking moron spends $200 on a pair of sneakers? This kid's an idiot. I was like, I literally in all caps wrote the shoe call out for Carmen.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Honestly, Alex, you could not be more wrong. You idiot. You dingle bob. But then I think it's the same scene where, they correct me if I'm wrong, where April's like, you could do all the right, like, this kid wasn't even wearing protection, and even when you wear the same shoes, like, you might as well just ride bareback, because everything's gonna kill you.
In the surgery, but in the surgery,
that's right.
In that
right,
moment when she's like, oh, we gotta take him, she's like, he made a stupid mistake, I'm not gonna let it ruin his whole life. That was in the trauma room.
That's right.
Which is also, yeah, it's just multiple times of her being like, how can I make this about me?
Yeah.
I don't love April in this episode, I'm going to be honest. April, we'll get into that, but I have a lot of unkind things to say about her.
Same, what a turd. And then as they leave, Arizona like falls behind and she like finally shows up and they're gone. I thought that there was going to be more ramifications for that. She took it in stride, clearly, because she gets into the surgery later.
Yeah. Yeah. She still goes to the surgery and then ends up. Well, so when she tells Callie that she's going to do the surgery, Bailey's there and Bailey's like, on your first day back, that's so much standing, don't you think you'll get bored? Because man, is it boring to stand and also sit.
Oh,
I love Miranda.
Yeah, she's her whole storyline this episode is also interesting because she's just like dumping on Ben for wanting a cutesy little wedding. And I don't remember, was Ben married before?
No.
So this is Ben's first wedding. Yeah, it's Bailey's second, whatever. And that's a different conversation that like they get into a little bit. But yeah, Bailey was really funny in this episode. But like, back off, my boy, Ben. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Arizona does the surgery and it goes like super well. And she almost like, because it's very successful, she essentially forgets that she has the prosthetic. But to quote her, that she doesn't have a left foot. So she, when she goes, she's like, wow, that went so well. I'm going to go talk to the parents, and turns to walk away and falls down. And I really liked Alex's reaction, honestly, because he like, you can tell that he doesn't really know what to do. So his first thing he does is like tell everyone else to leave, which I liked that, because he's like, well, at the very least, I can like give her the ability to process this on her own without everyone looking, because like everyone just freezes, like no one knows what to do. And so he kicks everybody out, which I liked. And then he goes over and he's like, hey, are you hurt? Like, did you hit your head? What can I do? And she is laughing and she's like, oh, I basically like forgot that this is my reality now. And also, your face is hilarious. Help me up. So it was almost like it was almost a good thing, because it had been so successful that it made her forget.
Yeah.
So she was like, everything's, but I think in a way it like showed her that she was going to be able to do that. And then like at the end of the episode, when Callie gets home and Arizona says, I fell. And then Callie says, what happened? And she says, I got back up. Which is true, but also so beautifully metaphorical.
Yeah.
And just corny as hell, but honestly, they play it really well. So I liked it.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of any kind of song, metaphor, reference about you get knocked down and you get back up. You know?
Do you really feel like it was a reference to that?
No. I just like anything that talks about that is what I meant.
Oh.
Anything is in the spirit of getting knocked down and getting back up.
Yeah.
Just always gives me goosebumps. Whether it's the monologue from the Rocky Balboa movie and he's like, life ain't about rainbows and sunshine, blah. It's about how you can get hit and keep moving forward. Blah.
You That's love a really that over- movie.
And I know, I do love it.
Very gropey and inappropriate.
Okay, there was that one time when it was normal in the 70s.
We shouldn't, well, walk it back.
All he did was pin her and not let her leave the room.
Nope.
Look at the beautiful life they created for themselves.
Nope.
And
anyways,
then she dies.
The one I was going to say that I really liked was in Captain Marvel. The original Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
where it's just
the
montage of her like falling down and getting back up again, basically.
Yeah.
Fucking dope as hell.
Yeah. Remember the reveal in that movie when Jude Law was the bad guy?
Honestly, I don't remember a lot about that movie. I actually only watched that. It's one of the Marvel movies that I've only seen one time. So there's just so many that I actively choose to go back and rewatch, and they're almost exclusively the Iron Man movies or Black Panther.
Yeah, because I gotta tell you,
Black Panther is, in my opinion, the best of all the Marvel movies.
Have we done a ranking on the Marvel movies for this episode, for this podcast, or for Patreon? No, right? We should do that.
The last time we did it,
it was Dude Thoughts, and a lot of things have been added since then.
Yeah, we have, like, so much has come out since then.
I'll tell you, I have not seen The Eternals, and I have also not seen the new Captain America movie, and I've not seen Thunderbolts.
I recently watched the new Captain America movie, honestly.
Is it Disney Plus? Is it on Disney Plus? Yeah.
It's fine.
I gotta watch that.
It's not terrible. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's fine. Like that. I was like, it's fine. I don't really. I told Michael, I was like, unfortunately, I fear that Harrison Ford is not the actor he once was. And I don't know if that is a casting situation or something else was going on, but I was like, his acting was not what his acting in other film franchises have been. And I was like, I don't love that, because I love Harrison Ford. So I was like, why are we doing this? That was honestly my biggest issue. And then there was some weird like edit stuff that I was like, why is this how you cut this movie? Anyways, it was weird.
Well,
but I thought it was fine. I did not think it was terrible. Also, The Eternals, we watched that and we were like, why was everyone, I think, the amount that people shit on movies for me has like helped them, because when I go in, my expectations are so low and I'm like, why was everyone so mean about this movie? It was not that bad.
Yeah.
We like the Eternals. Like, I mean, again, it's one I only seen it the one time, but it finished and we were like, this was did not deserve the amount of shit people gave it.
Yeah, it's like when I go back and watch Thor 2. I'm like, okay, it's not as good.
Do you see what
good.
I was saying?
Yeah.
When we ranked those and you guys were like, that's the worst one. I was like, this is not that bad.
No, Thor 2 was really not that bad. I also, there's a lot of people who give way too much shit to Thor Love and Thunder. I liked Thor Love and Thunder.
I agree. People were like, this is weird and not good. And I'm like, okay, first of all, look at the context. They basically, they were like, just do whatever you want. And they did. And I thought it worked.
I need to tell you, anytime someone says, oh, that movie's too campy or too fan servicey, I'm going to love it. I want the campy fan service bullshit. That's what I like.
I oftentimes do not like fan service.
Mm.
There was a moment in the new Captain America where I thought they were going to make Sam say, I could do this all day. And I was like, I'm about to get so fucking mad. And then they didn't make him say it. And I was like, thank God.
Well, spoiler alert.
You're welcome. That's he also right, does though. Not say Avengers Assemble.
Does Harrison Ford's character say I have a bad feeling about this?
He doesn't.
Ugh, missed opportunity. He what also if he said it in the
say,
same
I
sentence?
I love you, I know.
Oh. To Sam.
To himself.
In the mirror every morning he wakes up. Daily affirmations.
That's what our current president's doing, so.
I love you. I know. You're the most beautiful man I've ever seen.
The tower is the blackest tower. An orc for every Balrog. A Balrog for every orc. Every orc's going to have a Balrog.
I call him Little Tomato Danathor.
Not even a real king.
I can't believe Jessica doesn't like that show. Fuck.
To be fair, that one was game changer.
To be fair, it doesn't matter.
Actually...
No, that
I
was.
I might be wrong. That may have been Make Some Noise.
Yeah, it was Make Some Noise.
God, Game Changer's so fucking good, though. This season I just of Game wanna... Changer is lit as hell, you guys. If you do not have Dropout TV, get it for the free trial and just watch Game Changer. It's one of the best shows they produce.
I also really liked Actually. I've it's just so good. Next time,
we watch Actually every week. Like we've watched all the back seasons of it, and we watch the new one every time it drops.
When you guys come visit, we'll need to just watch it and shame Jessica for not liking it.
That's fair.
Yeah. Actually, let's talk about Grace.
Yeah.
So basically, it's good resolution. Arizona's back. She's doing well. She's having a good time. And she's holding Sophia and she's playing and she's having a good time and all that.
Yeah. So. And she's like, we're dancing. I thought it was a good choice to specifically like the play they were doing was her saying we are dancing. Even though she's like in her wheelchair, she's no longer like the dark place that she was in the first couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Where she, we didn't even see her with Sophia. So it's definitely, yeah. And she's not like, oh, well, I can't even dance because your mom cut my leg off, which is probably what she would have been doing, you know, 5 episodes ago or whatever. So right. That is kind of where my confusion with this storyline was, because I don't feel like there was enough resolution between the two of them, because they showed us so much anger, which I understand. But they don't really show moving away from that to her, like, coming back to the hospital. Because, especially the comment that Callie makes to Alex, where she's like, oh, you guys will have that in common or whatever about how you won't stop talking. So that made it seem like, oh, there's, like, it's still bad at home. But this, when she gets home, it doesn't seem bad because she's playing, she's happy. She tells her, like, oh, yeah, I fell down, but I got back up, like, everything, she's not mad. She doesn't seem mad about it anymore. And then she's just like, oh, I started dinner, but then I got distracted playing. Like, do you mind to finish the salad? Like, it seemed super normal and chill and happy again, which is good. Don't get me wrong. To me, it's just like missing the explanation of how we got there.
Yeah. And it's also, it makes you start to think, is this a temporary thing? Is Arizona the first time that she has... like phantom pains or things like that, or Callie makes a comment or she has a rough day, like, does it go back and set her backwards in time of whatever off-screen healing that we're being assumed to have had happened? But, I mean, you got to think, we went from her on the couch, Arizona on the couch, basically saying, do you want to watch the Baker show?
Yeah.
To immediately she's getting fit for a prosthetic. And then that David Moore guy is like, if you want to be a bitch, I'll go help other people. Like, I don't give a fuck about you. I have a job. Yeah. I'll be back when you're ready. And it goes like full tough love. And then Alex sees her leg and is like, look at that stump. That's a nice stump. To now hear where she's at work with Sophie at the end. Like, there is a disconnect. And I know that's an oversimplified summation of events that lead to this. That's my job. But yeah, it feels like a ticking time bomb situation. It feels like, when's the other foot going to drop, so to say?
Yeah.
Or yeah, is it other shoe? The other shoe's going to drop?
It's other shoe. I thought you were making a joke in poor taste.
I was making...
your favorite thing to do.
I was making a joke in poor taste, but I didn't even make the right joke in poor taste, so I'm just an idiot.
Okay. So, yeah, I agree. Like, the trajectory of how we got from angry Arizona to somewhat tolerant Arizona is not there for me, because like last episode was the one where Bailey tricked her into coming to the hospital, but then we don't really see anything after that with Callie in Arizona. So that's why I'm like, okay, this is weird. How have we done this?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my kind of confusion around it. Otherwise, I liked the like her being back. And I thought they handled it well. And I thought, like, it made sense that it wasn't just, like, super duper easy to come back. But it's also wasn't super difficult. Like, it was, obviously, it's, like, going to be a long-term adjustment on her part. And for those around her as well, to kind of figure out how, like, to best assist and accommodate. But it didn't feel, like, ignored or anything. I thought it was, I liked the way that they brought her back into the hospital.
Yeah, agreed. We got a couple minutes left. Do you want to talk about Bailey and like her funny situation here?
Yeah. So I also had a December wedding.
Yes, you did.
But we got married on December 1st, because as long as I can remember, I've wanted a winter wedding. And I specifically wanted winter, not Christmas. So I didn't want like the red and the green and the Christmas decorations. I wanted the lights and like the snowy vibes and like things like that, but I didn't want Christmas. But it's funny because
your colors had green in it though, right? Wasn't it a pine, like a pine green?
No, we did blue, white, and silver.
Blue, white, and silver.
Navy, yep. Navy blue, and then some light blues. I did have like wreaths for centerpieces, but we did so much blues and silvers on them that the green wasn't like super prominent.
Yeah. That's right. I remember now.
But it was a good time.
I loved your wedding. And I remember that was, man, I like Chattanooga. I remember even getting Sonic and just like sitting there in the chair and Chris, oh, fucking love Crystal. I want you to know that a core memory of mine, you got some crystals there.
Well, I got a picture from my wedding.
Oh,
I dropped it. It's a picture from my wedding.
So cute.
And this is a picture from your wedding.
Oh, so cute. It makes more sense, the picture you showed me from my wedding. I thought you were going to show me a picture of me and Jess. It makes more sense that it's Michael and you.
Yes. It's me and Michael in both the pictures.
Yeah. This is an audio podcast. So
what was one of your core memories?
I have two core memories that are just in my life. One of them involves
only two?
You. Well, no, I have... at least
for this sharing moment.
I have probably 69 core memories, and two of them are, one for one of, I think it was Scarlett's birthday, when I was really hungry and I wanted Crystal, and your mom was like, let's go get Crystal then. And I was like, really?
My mom actually brought this up recently. She was like, sometimes I think about when Carmen and I just drove to get Crystal because he really wanted it.
That's a core memory for me. I love your mom. And In another world, if Jessica wasn't around, I think that I could have a relationship with her and I'd become your stepfather. And I'd become Michael's stepfather-in-law.
I don't love anything that you just said.
Okay, in all seriousness, just like I didn't even put shoes on. I walked out barefoot.
I know.
And we just got Crystal. That's a core memory of mine. The other core memory is us singing your song in the room at your wedding, just like all of us hanging out.
That was good.
It's another core memory of mine. Also, I think it's worth saying, I feel like I know that you know it's a joke, but I have no interest in being your stepfather.
Thank you.
Okay.
But you won't be, so that works out.
Right.
Okay, so Bailey does not want a wedding. And
a Christmas
Ben
wedding.
Super does.
Oh, she's not a wedding at all.
She says she just wants to go to the courthouse.
I actually think I missed that part. I thought she didn't want a Christmas wedding. I get that. No, I remember now. I remember that scene now. You're right. I forgot about it for a minute. Sorry, take it away. My bad.
This is interesting because we actually had very similar conversations before we started wedding planning, because I said I didn't want to do a big wedding. I just wanted to go to the courthouse and then maybe have like a party later. And Michael hated that, which this is the opposite of our personalities usually, because I am very extroverted and Michael's very introverted. So he was like, I don't understand how this is your take when you love things like where like you love parties and you love also being the center of attention, which is true. And so he was like, I just don't understand why you wouldn't want weddings. Like, you love weddings and why would you not want to have your own? I'm like, I just think it's a lot of money, which it was a lot of money when we got married in 2018. It is an insane amount of money now. Like, working in the wedding industry, most, like, you're not gonna do a wedding with over 100 guests for less than 50 grand, most likely. That's actually probably pretty low price point for 100 guests. It's insane. The wedding industry is a lot of money, and that was kind of my thing, is like, do we want to do this with the money, or do we want to take this money and put it elsewhere, whatever. We did end up having a wedding, obviously, and I loved it. I loved our wedding. I loved y'all's wedding. I don't regret having it, but so I just think I don't know if I would have regretted not having one either. We'll never know. It doesn't matter. But it was like one of the greatest days. So it's not a regret that I had it. I loved it. I actually get sad because our wedding venue is no longer a wedding venue. They sold it and became like a church because, you know, there's not enough of those in the deep south. So, so I understand where she's coming from. I don't obviously have the experience, because I do think a lot of it is influenced by the fact that she has already had a wedding. And I think this is probably pretty common, or at least I feel in media it is portrayed as a very common, where someone, when they're having their second wedding, they're like, I don't want to do this again. Like, I already did the big wedding.
I already invited all my friends and family once. I'm not going to invite them again.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, in my opinion, the appropriate way to address that, if it is a second wedding for both people, really the appropriate way to address anything in a relationship is to talk about it. But if you have one person who has been married before and another one who hasn't, I think the appropriate approach would be like, hey, I've already done this, so don't feel like you need to do this if it's for me. But if you want to do it like for the celebration of it, and like if it's important to you, like, I'm happy to do it again. But I do feel like there could be an aspect of like embarrassed, like when she says come do it again in case I mean it this time, I was like, oh my god, that's fucking savage. In case I mean it this time took me out.
Yeah. It's funny that Ben is the one wanting this, because I think it goes, while he has shown his character as like this sensitive guy, but he also has like this machismo kind of mentality. Nothing like that one guy who was that one guy that was like a borderline abusive? He was like, I need to own you. You're my possession.
I do not know who you're talking about.
The last guy, the guy with the curly hair.
Oh, Eli.
Eli.
Did he say that?
He said listen, you think I hate women. This guy.
I do not feel like that was said, but I understand that you have that opinion.
Anyways, I think it's funny the way that they're writing like the details. And yeah. Of course,
well, also let me say for anyone to make a deposit before you talk to your future spouse is an insane thing to do. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like don't, that's fucking wild. Don't ever do that.
Yeah. But it is interesting that of all people, Christina, and mm-hmm. even Bailey says that, you of all people, Yang, you're a romantic sap. And Christina's like, just what does it hurt? Just do it for him. Like,
yeah, she's like, there are bigger battles to fight. And then Bailey's super rude. And she's like, yeah, look how that well worked out for you. And I'm like, damn, savage.
That's like cold. And she like really does not hold back. She rolls
because
her eyes.
She knows
it's
about
everything.
The cheating.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
It's fucking wild.
But she knows about Owen's
Miranda's
cheating,
on one in this
cheating.
Episode, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Anyways.
But
they're funny.
We'll talk more about Dr. Bailey in the next episode after everyone's favorite segment.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.